Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, September 9th, 2020.
Bitcoin is up 3% to 10,324, and Ethereum is up 6.8% to 357.
Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay. First, the total value locked in DeFi drops for the first time ever. That's according to DeFi Pulse.
Yeah, I think this is a direct reaction to the sushi swap debacle. I could be wrong, but I'd say it's a culmination of several different scammy kind of exercises. You put all that together, people get pretty spooked and start to pull money out. DeFi is already highly speculative. You know, we talk a lot about this. Governance tokens are highly speculative. People are making a lot of money on it, though. I mean, you know, APYs are still way up there. As long as these governance tokens are holding in value, there is still a lot of money to be made. But, you know, I don't think when you look at the numbers of people who are participating in DeFi, especially this yield farming type DeFi, you know, I would be surprised if it was more than like 5 to 10,000 people. I would not be surprised if it was actually less than 1,000 people. So within that context, it does not take a particularly large sentiment shift to dramatically decrease the amount of money being held in DeFi. So, it literally probably takes like two or three people kind of change their mind and suddenly you have probably $40, $50 million or just drop like that. So, you know, this maybe we're reaching a bit of an equilibrium. You'll also notice gas prices in Ethereum been way down. So gas right now is running closer to 80 to 90 Wei versus where it was up at 140. So that's a correlation indicator for interest in DeFi is gas prices going down. So put these two together, and I think we're definitely seeing a little bit of a pullback on that, but that'll be until the big thing happens.
All right. So SushiSwap will withdraw $830 million from Uniswap today, migrating it to a community-owned automatic market maker.
Yeah, SushiSwap, you know, they obviously do liquidity pool aggregation on top of Uniswap. I think that it was Sushi that they coined the term vampire mining because they're basically pooling resources, doing some automation staking work, not a lot. They're really not doing a lot of stuff here. And then doing it. So they're moving over to a different AMM. The AMMs are essentially Uniswap Balancer. These are automated market makers. The idea is that they're formulaic driven pricing engines as opposed to order book pricing engines. So a traditional market maker is you have a person who creates a price, who creates a sell price and a buy price. They would be a market maker. People then trade between those two. The market maker makes money on the delta between the buy price and the sell price. The automatic market makers like, you know, Uniswap Balancer, all of those are operating differently. I think Uniswap has a bit of an issue that they're taking a fee, so everyone would like to avoid that fee if possible. These are all, once the contract is deployed, it doesn't make a lot of sense in some ways for the DEXs to be taking fees. That makes more sense for them to be monetizing through other mechanisms. So the fees are essentially friction that will eventually go away, right? If you can fork a repo, get rid of the fee, and people will still put liquidity into it because again, reward and governance tokens, then you will have essentially cut out one of the mechanisms people are using to make money in this. And I think that's what we're seeing here. But it's also notable that this was Sushi moving their coins over. So that's, you know, the drama continues, I guess.
All right. So Bitcoin's hash rate has reached an even higher height. That's according to Glassnode, which is a blockchain analytics firm, that the cryptocurrency's hash rate has broken a new record.
Yeah, the new record is what they're reporting is 140 exahashes. That is, it's a lot of zeros. That is a phenomenal number of zeros. You know, you have terabytes. If you think about that, you have, you know, gigabytes, terabytes, petabytes, exabytes. So this is, you know, five. Each of those hops is three orders of magnitude. So I mean, this is, you know, whatever, nine to 12 orders of magnitude above what like your PC would be turning out. It is an incredible amount of data or incredible amount of power being put towards this. I think there's a couple of things here. One is mining has been particularly profitable. I don't know if these guys were carving out Bitcoin. They probably were carving out Bitcoin, but mining has been very profitable with the price of Bitcoin lately. So that's one part. Second, during the pandemic, electricity costs have come way down. People just aren't using that much electricity. People aren't using electricity at offices. Office lights aren't on. Manufacturing's not happening at the same rate. So electricity costs have come way down, which would then, you know, that's when mining is profitable. Mining is profitable when you have good movement on the price of the crypto, and then above a certain point is particular, and then also when your electricity costs come down. So you put those two together, it is not surprising to me that there was a slack there to get to this height. What was surprising to me, in fact, was that and this is probably related to some new hardware. There has been some new hardware recently over the last like 3 months that's been coming out that has like higher hashing power. I'm surprised there was this much extra hardware slack to actually bring to bear on mining Bitcoin. You know, it might have also been due to the fact when Ethereum crashes, a lot of people switch over to Ethereum mining and Dash mining and other coins for a while. With those prices coming down, people will swap back to Bitcoin. So combination of a lot of factors, but it is a amazing number of ones and zeros being added together.
All right. Well, also coming from Glassnode, that same analytics company, they say that Bitcoin addresses with more than 0.1 BTC Bitcoin has surpassed 3 million.
Yeah. Always remember with Bitcoin. So with Ethereum, it's a little bit more clear cut. People tend to have a fixed number of addresses. I wouldn't say that it is 100%. Like, people don't have one address. People will have several addresses they're using with Ethereum. With Bitcoin, that's not the case. The vast majority of Bitcoin wallets work through what's called a hierarchical deterministic wallet, where essentially you start with a seed phrase and you can generate as many addresses as you want off of that. And so proper operational security for people using Bitcoin is to have lots and lots of addresses. So it is this to me is a bit of a red herring. But as always, what I say is, like, look at these things magnitudinally. The more addresses you see out there, the more people are probably using it. So this is good. One thing I was going to say about this, though, is that there's a, for the long time, you know, there's 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be created. So 0.1 is an interesting number. Because there was always this sort of high level thesis that you want to be part of the 21 million club. This is kind of a meme online where you want to own one Bitcoin, because eventually with 21 million, if the price really goes, you know, if the market cap for cryptocurrencies go to $2 trillion, you know, one Bitcoin is a lot of money. It's $100,000 or more. And so one Bitcoin is what you want. It's like where you can still have one Bitcoin will theoretically not be forever. There will be a point at which people will, you know, most people cannot afford to get one Bitcoin. Maybe we're starting to see that a little bit. You know, $10,000 for a coin is actually relatively expensive. So for most people, for this to be a totally disposable income type investment. So maybe we're seeing more people default to trying to get that 0.1 Bitcoin and then slowly work up to the one Bitcoin to kind of be part of that 21 million club. So I don't know. I wouldn't read too deeply into this, but it is a really interesting number, and it's certainly notable that there's this many addresses floating out there.
All right. Last, we asked on Twitter what some of your favorite new DeFi projects are. Thank you to everyone who responded. You can still submit ideas to us via Twitter at The DeFi Daily or emailing us at info@thedefidaily.com. And today, Pat, we are going to talk about Equilibrium.
Yeah, this got recommended to us. I hadn't been particularly familiar with this. I don't follow the EOS crypto world all that carefully. Equilibrium was a project that started over on EOS as a stable coin provider on EOS. I think, although I was not able to totally tell this, I do believe that they got some money from EOS's VC general fund that they have. So EOS has a $1 billion fund to inspire work on their blockchain. And I believe Equilibrium got some of this. What's been notable is that Equilibrium is moving over to Polkadot, to their own chain running on top of Polkadot. And as part of that, they're making a move into a broad range of different instruments. So they've moved from really just a stablecoin provider to having lending pools, swap pools, DEXs, all that kind of stuff. And they're trying to use the Polkadot infrastructure to set up better cross-chain swaps and better cross-chain support. So interesting project. Right now they are, I think that they maybe are trying to do a little bit too much, but it is interesting to see other DeFi happy on other chains besides Ethereum, because that's where all of the stuff has been focused on Ethereum. All the DeFi work has been focused on Ethereum recently. So it is interesting seeing what other chains are doing.
All right. Well, that does it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
Have a good one. Bye.